This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's Creature Feature, a spotlight on one of the Wildlife Hospital Dunedin's extra special guests.
And our extra special guest this morning, Jordana White from Wildlife Hospital Dunedin. Kia ora, good to have you with us, Jordana, again.
Morena, thanks for having me, as always.
Right, I haven't even been given a heads up about who our creature is today, so you're going to surprise me.
Yep, love that. Yep, today we are going to be talking about what's actually quite a rare patient for us, but isn't necessarily that rare in New Zealand. It's a ruru, or a moor pork.
Mm.
So in my opinion, my highly scientific opinion, New Zealand's cutest native owl.
Do you know, we came home after a night out just two or three nights ago, and in the Northeast Valley, and there was a ruru. It felt like it was just on a tree, just like, I don't know, within 20 feet of us. It was so beautiful and loud. And, of course, in the stillness of the night, it was just such a beautiful thing. And we just said, you know, thank goodness for the ruru. We feel so good to have them in our neighbourhood. And we do hear them a bit up Northeast Valley.
Yeah, that's amazing. Did you get to see it at all, or were you just hearing it?
No, too dark.
Yeah, it's one of those things I've never actually seen one in the wild. I've heard them, like, you're not in Dunedin, which is interesting. So one of our staff members actually does live in Northeast Valley, and she's got a big macrocarpa tree sort of at the bottom of her property, and she does hear them quite frequently in that tree.
Yep.
So I know that they are around Dunedin, but that it's, you're bringing me to kind of a point, which is that they are common in New Zealand. They're less common, and I've always felt they've been less common in Dunedin, and I've not really don't really hear that. I've never heard them in Dunedin. I've only heard them when I'm out tramping in the bush, you know, West Coast, Fiordland, et cetera. So it turns out that they are, as I said, they are quite abundant, but specifically this is the part of the country where they are much less abundant. So it's just a bit drier. I think that's quite natural. I don't think that's necessarily a habitat thing. It's probably a historic thing, but I do hear anecdotes about them being in Dunedin, like you've just said. Actually, the mayor of Dunedin said he had one that was visiting his property for two or three years in a row in St. Clair, and then there's some macrocarpa trees in the flat in St. Clair that people have told me that they've heard them in.
Well, I feel very special then.
Yeah.
Because it's relatively commonplace around the north end of the north end.
Well, it's really nice. I mean, I think there's obviously enough cover for them, trees that they like using, safe places for them to nest, which is, we'll come to that later, of course, what keeps them safe. But yeah, it's really good to hear. It's just that we also anecdotally, of course, we don't get lots of them at the hospital. So to me, it was either a sign of we don't have that many here, and or they're doing okay, that they don't need us, you know, the Dunedin ones don't need us anyhow. But yeah, for those, I mean, I feel like probably this has got to be one of the more well-known bird calls that we have in the country. You know, of course, they make that moor pork kind of sound. Although in Australia, so these are native to New Zealand, but they are also found in other parts of sort of Australia, Asia, the Pacific generally. In Australia, they're known as the boobook owl.
Mm.
So I wonder if that's just sort of a regional, an accent thing. They sound like they're saying boobook, or that's the, you know, boobook.
Yeah, I can hear
boobook.
That.
I can kind of hear it too. Yeah. So that was a new fun fact for me. And I think we probably, most of us know what Aruru looks like. But I will say there is something called a little owl, which we also have here in New Zealand. And it's confusing because they're both they're both little owls, but they do actually look quite different. Although if you see them side by side, they're very different. You know, Aruru have those really big, bright yellow green eyes. I mean, they're quite intense looking, and they can't turn their eyes in their eye sockets. So that's why owls turn their heads. So that if they want to look around, they have to turn their whole head. So a ruru goes about 270 degrees. The head swivels around, which is pretty impressive.
It is.
Yeah. And I would say that the ruru have a taller, more prominent kind of head or forehead above the eyes, whereas the little owl has a little bit more of a squat forehead. And the little owl has eyes that are a bit wider set apart. So you can kind of, if you saw them side by side, they're both like kind of brown and white. They're similar size, but they do side by side look quite different. And I would say, in my opinion, the ruru, when they have that big kind of like the big bug eye, like headlight kind of a look at you, like really, it's like ever so slightly cross-eyed. It's just maybe not all the time, but once in a while it has this little effect. And I say it doesn't really mesh with the great wise owl look.
I kind of thought you were going to say their eyes were burning into your very soul.
Oh, no, there is also that, but it takes the edge off a little bit with the with a cross-eyed look. It's not always like that. But so I, you know, the, like I said, we don't have this part of the South Island. We don't have as many ururu. They're not quite as abundant here. And this particular patient that we're going to be talking about today was, in fact, not from Dunedin. It came all the way to us from the Milford Road. Specifically, it came to us from the middle of the Milford Road because it was found on the road. It had been hit by a car, clipped by a car, and that it was quite actually fortunate that he didn't get hit again because he was laying in the road. So that was lucky. And it was lucky twice over because the person that came across him was a dock ranger. So scooped him up and made arrangements to get him all the way to the hospital. And I will say, shout out to Tom, this particular ranger who actually drove him all the way from Fjordland, this ruru. So it's quite a trip. Now, we had to treat him for anemia and bilateral eye ulcers. So he had gotten knocked around by that car quite a bit. And as you can imagine, an eye ulcer is pretty significant injury for a ruru, which has to hunt at night. So needs to have outstanding vision and all of its senses that it uses in the dark. I can't talk more about the eye ulcers because I'll pass out. So this is the one injury that I can't discuss is eye injuries, but that's not what's the good thing that this bird has so many other things going for him because I'm going to talk about those. And I am saying him, and that's intentional. We do know for a fact that this is a male. And the reason we know that is because this particular ruru had a band on his ankle when we received him, and therefore we could look him up. And let me tell you, Jeff, there is a story to this bird. And we were not expecting it. And some of it is, there's some of it's just interesting and some of it blows my mind. So this ruru was first banded in the Eglinton Valley, which is near Milford Sound. So that tracks with where he was found. And they are quite territorial. So they have large, they tend to hunt like 5 to 9 hectare sort of ranges, territories. So it doesn't, it tracks that he was in that same sort of rough area. And he was fitted with a band and a transmitter back in October of 2011.
Okay.
October of 2011, which just blew our minds. He wasn't a baby at the time. He wasn't a chick. And if you go online I was looking for all these resources trying to figure out, well, what's the normal lifespan of a ruru in the wild? 6 years is what's listed.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a bit of a range. Sometimes it says 6 to 11, but 6 is the most consistent resource that I can find. So this guy is absolutely outstripping that. You know, he's 14 years old. Yeah, that's incredible. 15. They say he's 15 because they're not sure exactly how old he was when he was banded, perhaps. So that's incredible especially for a wild bird. I understand that there is a record of a ruru somewhere on the North Island, however, in captivity, that is 40 years old. So that's often the case. You'll see that the difference between a wild lifespan and a captive lifespan can be absolutely massive. But in this case, that he's well eclipsing the 6-year lifespan is amazing. And so I will say it did kind of heighten our stress level about getting this bird back out to the wild because you realize, oh, gosh, he's actually quite special. And he's got this history and people know the history and he's so old. We want to make sure that we do our best for him. So, yeah, it was but added a bit of stress to our case.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, the astonishing fact, too, that I will say about this ruru is that he was given a name. And his name, you ready for this? You're not ready. You ready? His name is Maroon Pullover. Once more. Maroon Pullover, the ruru. And I demand answers. I don't understand. So was the researcher just wearing a maroon pullover that day?
Well, presumably it's not reflected in anything plumage-wise.
No, they're brown and white. No maroon to be seen. And they're definitely not wearing a little jersey, so I'm not sure what's happening there. But I love it. I just don't know why. And just a bit of history about him again is he
Southland rugby supporter? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I will say, okay, I have, all right. This is New Zealand. I was doing some networking to try to find these answers. I got numbers in my phone. Mm. I was doing some pretty weird texting last night to try to figure this out. And I did manage to track down, I'm in the circles, right? So I did manage actually to track down the original researcher who is doing this work, who I also happen to know through a different avenue. And she told me that all of the ruru are actually named with MP names, like more pork. So the MP, I didn't mean to make that sound like a member of parliament name, but yeah, with MP names. I got that. But I would have thought they went with names, maroon pullover. I don't know. Somebody was wearing a maroon pullover that day. That's my guess.
It's probably as simple as that.
Yeah, it probably is that. But hold that in your mind. Okay. So Maroon Pullover had a mate back in 2011 when he was banded, and they put a transmitter on him. They did have two eggs that pair, but unfortunately those eggs didn't hatch. And then he was clever enough to drop his transmitter just 2 months later, which is, you know, pretty good effort on his part, I would say. Oftentimes those are on for years. But they did catch him again in 2013 and 2014. So they had kind of caught up with him a few times. Apparently he's particularly was noted in the research as being an excellent mouser. So quite a good hunter, which is possibly one of the reasons that he's so long-lived. Yeah, exactly. So he's quite good at catching his food. Okay, we're going to come to astonishing fact three. This is related to this bird, related but not specifically about him. So I just mentioned that he had a mate back in 2011. Well, his mate was given a name as well. And her name was Magenta Panties.
Just gets better.
It gets better. So we said, we think the researcher was wearing a maroon pullover. Are we going to extrapolate out from that?
We have to.
Yeah. I think their names were Terry and John, or Barry and John or something, these researchers. So you read into that what you will. There's no judgment here. But yeah, maroon pullover and magenta panties.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, honestly.
I'm not sure whether the Lulu themselves would appreciate the names. But
yeah, especially having gotten up close and personal with maroon, as we'll call him. I don't think he would appreciate it at all. He's a pretty serious bird. I don't think he's got a lot of sense of humor, if you will. He's a pretty, pretty staunch guy.
Well, I think we know that others have a sense of humor in the naming department. Yeah, I'm
extremely entertained, as you may have noted. Yeah. So I love this. I love this. Well, maroon, like I said, maroon was an outstanding hunter, and they are just in general the ruru. They eat loads of stuff. They're really opportunistic, so they'll eat insects. They'll eat weta, beetles, moths, even geckos, and other birds.
Really?
Yeah. So this is a small bird, but they will take bellbirds, fantails.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they also do sometimes take endangered birds because they don't know. It's our fault that those birds are endangered, not the ruru. Another researcher that I was chatting with last night was telling me that they were doing a banding project on robins in Eglinton Valley at the same time they were working on the ruru, and they found one of the ruru they were working with that they called Miss Piggy.
Okay, that's good.
They found 24 robin bands in her nest.
No way.
Yep. So they are quite prolific hunters, and they will they're opportunistic. They'll take what they can get their talons on, I suppose. And they're pretty fierce hunters as well. They're very good at it. And Maroon showed his intensity one day when Lizzie, one of our vets, opened his enclosure. He launched himself at her, got his talons into her pants, thankfully just her pants and not her legs, and then hung upside down from her pants while glaring directly into her soul with those eyes and hissed at her. It's like, can you imagine if you were like a gecko and you saw that coming at you?
Yeah,
that'd be it. Yep. So now Lizzie, of course, does not sleep at night because she's
this creature has an intense will to live.
That's right. Yeah, he's really fierce. You're absolutely right about that. Part of it might just be down to his temperament. Like he's going to do it. He's going to be out there and survive, and he's obviously proving it. But we had him for about 3 weeks. We did treat his ulcers. They did clear up. He healed up pretty well for an old guy, especially.
He might be on a mission to find the person who named him.
Who named him and then who hit him with the car. He's got two people on his list. Yeah. He's still working on it. Yeah. He did for some light rehab at the Dunedin Botanic Gardens with Alicia, the curator up there. We needed to make sure that he was flight ready, of course. For some of our species, it's really, really important that they are absolutely able to hunt on the wing as they need to. And so he got picked up by the same ranger who made the whole drive all the way back. Obviously, he was quite invested in this bird, which we understand, and driven all the way home. So as I mentioned, they are quite territorial. They do have specific areas that they live and hunt in. And so it was really important that he went back to that spot that he knows so well. And he has obviously been able to thrive there. So that was pretty good. So other than, researchers poking fun at them and people clipping them with cars, their biggest threats are introduced predators, of course. So we have things like stoats that are quite, will readily take their eggs and their chicks because they do often nest on the ground in low places. So there are even some incidents in Otago where they've seen, just sort of nesting on the ground in rock, little rock formations and that kind of thing. So really, really vulnerable position. Now, they are super tough birds, maroon and ruru in general. They will actually attack possums that are going towards their nests and that kind of thing. But the eggs and chicks, of course, there's no defense there. So they get taken pretty easily. So I'll just keep banging on the predator-free drum. I know we don't have loads of ruru here in Dunedin, but we could possibly have more if we all got involved in a bit of predator-free work, which would be fantastic. The other thing you can do is if you do live in an area like Northeast Valley where you know that there are ruru in the zone there, you can do things like if you're clearing your property, leave some dead trees around, leave some places for them to nest that might have little hollowed out areas and things that are off of the ground. So it's a great excuse to just not take one more trip to the green waste. And do slow down on the roads at night in areas where there are ruru. I know in the Catlins there are quite a few as well, so they do get hit by cars fairly regularly. So just be mindful of wildlife at night on our roads, please.
Best story yet, I think I can say for Creature Feature after 5 years. Incredible. Learned so much and had a good laugh too.
Yes, is it? That's what we aim
That's
to please.
What we're here for. Jordana White joining us for today's edition of Creature Feature. Do support the great work of Dunedin Wildlife Hospital, won't you?
The Wildlife Hospital Dunedin treats sick and injured native New Zealand species right here in the heart of Aotearoa's wildlife capital. Their expert veterinary team patches up more than 500 patients every year, returning the majority of them back to the wild where they belong. You can learn more about the hospital, including ways to support this charitable trust, at wildlifehospitaldunedin.org.nz or follow their Facebook page for more fabulous creature content.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.